Baruch haba b'shem Yehovah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Greetings. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining me this morning. That phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is really an important phrase, according to Jesus. And that we're going to be looking at that today. We're going to be doing our gospel portion today, which is Matthew 21, verses 9 through 17. And then hopefully we have time. I want to read a prophecy from the Book of Jubilees and just have a look at that today, too. So it should be an interesting podcast this morning. Just a quick reminder, the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to support this mission of truth and delivering God's Word and these Bible studies and all that we do here. And we definitely need your support. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the broadcast. All right, let's just go ahead and dig right in. And we'll start with Matthew chapter 21, verses 9 through 17. I'll look at a couple of cross references. And then we're going to read a prophecy out of Jubilees. I want to say Jubilees chapter 23 from the Dead Sea Scrolls. So that is what's on the agenda for this morning. So let's get started. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, Matthew 21, starting with verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them, and he went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Okay, so that's the gospel portion. And, you know, one thing that's true about the New Testament that a lot of people don't catch because they don't know the Old Testament, especially when Jesus is talking, is he's always quoting the Old Testament. And he specifically loves to quote the Psalms and Deuteronomy. And we see that in this passage as well. We go down, and he says, first of all, he goes into the temple, and he's casting out those who sold and bought in the temple and overthrowing tables and the money changers. And, you know, it's hard to picture this because Christianity kind of paints this picture of Jesus as just this weak, soft guy who would never lose his temper or have emotion, and that's not the case at all. You know, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the representation of God in human flesh, and God does get angry. And he's specifically angry about the fact that people are taking advantage of those who might come to the house of God to pray, to hear the word, by trying to profit from it inside the house of God. And so here you have these guys inside the temple buying and selling stuff that people need to do the sacrifices and things of that nature, and he's not happy. And so in verse 13 he says, And it is written, My house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And if we go look at Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 11, we have a similar phrase. And it says, Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. And then people come and they... And here's another thing that's just mind-boggling. And it just goes to show you that... Look, you have... At that time, you had the Jews that followed the Torah and all that. But most of Judaism... And it's this way with most religions, including Christianity. Most of Judaism had become more like rabbinical Judaism and Kabbalah. In other words, a bunch of man-made things, man-made religion. It wasn't like they just sat around following the Torah, and it's that way even today. It's not, most of it's not about following Torah, it's about the Talmud and the rabbinic writings. You know, what did the rabbi say? That trumps all, and they just have volumes and volumes and volumes of these books. And so here what we see, and the reason why I bring that up is because we see an example of this religious spirit right now. Here we have a man who just came in Jerusalem. Everyone's crying out, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosea in the highest. He goes into the temple, he's turning over money changers. And then it says that the lame and the blind are coming to him in the temple and he's healing them. People who could not see are suddenly seeing. People who were lame, couldn't walk, are suddenly healed. These incredible miracles are happening within the temple. And it says that the chief priest and the scribes saw what was going on and they were sore displeased. So instead of being like, oh wow, look at this movement of God that's taking place. This must be the Messiah according to the scriptures that we claim to have dedicated our lives to study. No, they're worried that he's going to interrupt their religion and their place of power and position. We see that today. Even within Christianity, especially within Judaism, that hasn't changed. But also within Christianity. Those who are more concerned about position, prestige, and power and money, more concerned with that than they are the truth and delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the unfortunate thing. Those are the ones who get all the support, the financial support, seems like all of that is going to guys who don't even preach the truth. It's sad. And they go on in verse 16, they say it on him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, have you never read? You know, you guys are supposed to be the scribes. You're supposed to be the priest. Have you never read what the scriptures say? That out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And of course, he's, again, quoting Psalms, Psalm 8, verse 2, which says, out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Very interesting. Now I want to go back to this phrase, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, because apparently it's an important phrase. Now that phrase comes from, you guessed it, the Psalms. It comes from Psalm 118, verse 26. Which says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Yehovah. Of course, the word Lord. It's not actually blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai in Hebrew. It's actually God's name. Baruch haba b'shem Yehovah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord, it says. Verse 26. Which might think this is interesting. Is because not long after all this takes place in Jerusalem, they start to reject him, right? You know, they're calling him Messiah, basically, as he's coming in this moment. And then not long after that in the story, they start to reject him because of the religious people who are stirring up trouble. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse 37 through 39, which also compares with something, a place mentioned in the book of Revelation. I'll let you do your own study on that for now. But he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered my children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Yehovah. He's saying this place is about to get wrecked. And it did, right? We all know 70 AD, Romans came in, destroyed everything, fulfilling the prophecies that Jesus gave specific about that. But he says, you're not going to see me again until you say, Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And he's talking to Jerusalem specifically, apparently, because he says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And so that city will never see the Messiah again until they will say, Baruch haba b'shem Yehovah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I just thought that that was interesting. It's just an interesting phrase, something to be thinking about, maybe something to say, to pray. We should be praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Maybe we should also be praying, as blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because Jesus says, you're not going to see me again until that be the phrase on your lips. So, anyway, do what you will with that information. That is the gospel portion for this morning. Let's switch gears. You know, we just did the study in the Book of Jubilees not long ago. As a matter of fact, if you're new to the broadcast, that whole series is in the archives. We went through every single chapter, talked about it, commentated on it. For whatever reason, I don't remember this chapter, chapter 23, but you know, I do a lot of this, and I've been doing it for 5 years now, and sometimes the things I've covered kind of start to run together. It's almost like when you read too much, it all kind of starts to blur if you're not careful. But I saw another channel who didn't really talk about this passage, but just kind of quoted it like on a slide, and I went back and I read it and I thought, man, that's an interesting prophecy, and it's powerful. And so I'm not going to give a bunch of commentary on it this morning. What I want to do is just kind of read it and let's ask ourselves internally as we read it, if this could be talking about our generation, both the good things and the bad things mentioned in this prophecy. Is our generation the one that this could be written to? Maybe it was written to the generation that rejected Messiah. But let's consider it in our hearts and open up our hearts and open up our minds and have a listen. All right, so we're going to start with verse 10. And this is the ancient Book of Jubilees, found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Again, the whole series is in the archives for those of you who'd be interested. Start with verse 10. For Abraham was perfect in all his deeds with the Lord, and well-pleasing in righteousness all the days of his life. And behold, he did not complete 4 jubilees in his life, when he had grown old by reason of the wickedness and was full of his days. So real quick, one thing that is pointing out is, hey, in the ancient world, people used to live much, much longer. 300, 400, 500 years. Okay, that was normal living. But as wickedness increased in the earth, the lifespan of man decreased. And it would be lucky to live 2 jubilees, be lucky to live 100 years. And we even see that curse when we go and we look at Genesis chapter 6, you know, and God's fed up with the wickedness, and he says your years are going to be like 120 years. What he's getting at is you're not going to live any longer than this anymore. Gone are the days where you lived hundreds of years. And he points out that even Abraham didn't live that many in comparison to that. He says he did not even complete 4 jubilees, but because of the wickedness, and he was full of his days. Verse 11. And all the generations which shall arise from this time unto the day of the great judgment shall grow old quickly, before they complete 2 jubilees. And their knowledge shall forsake them by the reason of their old age. Land, all their knowledge shall vanish away. Have you ever noticed that? Family members who maybe used to be so wise, so full of life, and they've, when they get to that really, really old age, it's like they've lost their mind. all that wisdom and knowledge seems to have left them. And they're almost like they go back to being a child in some ways. He says their knowledge shall forsake them by the reason of their old age. Land, all their knowledge shall vanish away. Verse 12. And in those days, if a man live a jubilee and a half of years, they shall say regarding him, he has lived long. And the greater part of his days are pain and sorrow and tribulation, and there is no peace. I said I wasn't going to commentate much, but I keep popping in. You know, one of the questions, why does life have to be so full of tribulation and trouble? And Jesus even tells us, in this life you will have trouble. Be of good courage, I've overcome the world. It all goes back to the wickedness of man. Because of man's wicked heart, and it continues to get more and more wicked as time progresses, and we continue to be further and further away from God, therefore we're hearing less and less from God, and we're having more trials and tribulations as our lives go on. We're dying younger. There's no peace. It's because of the wicked hearts of men. That's what it boils down to. Verse 13, for calamity follows on calamity, and wound on wound, and tribulation on tribulation, and evil tidings on evil tidings, and illness on illness, and all evil judgments such as these, one with another, illness and overthrow, and snow and frost and ice and fever and chills and torpor and famine and death and sword and captivity, and all kinds of calamities and pains. All these shall come on an evil generation, which transgresses on the earth. Their works are uncleanliness and fornication and pollution and abominations. They shall say, these days of the forefathers were many, even unto 1,000 years, and were good. But behold, the days of our life, if a man has lived many, are 70 years and 10. And if he is strong, 80 years. And those evil, there is no peace in the days of this evil generation. And in that generation, the sun shall convict their fathers and their elders of sin and unrighteousness, and the words of their mouth and great wickedness, which they perpetrate. And concerning their forsaking the covenant which the Lord God made between them and him, and they should observe and do all his commandments, and his ordinances, and all his laws, without departing either to the right hand or the left. It's saying there's going to be a generation. At first it says there's going to be this generation, this evil generation. There's going to be no peace in those days. And in that generation, there'll be sons. There'll be those who come up that convict their fathers and the elders of all the sin and unrighteousness and the words of their mouth and the great wickedness that they perpetuate. Concerning specifically the covenant which the Lord God had made between him, between them and him. And they're going to observe God's ways, right? They're going to walk in his commandments and observe his ordinance, all the laws, without departing, either to the right hand or the left. Verse 17, for all have done evil, and every mouth speaks iniquity, and all their works are an uncleanliness and an abomination, and all their ways are pollution and cleanliness and destruction. Behold, the earth shall be destroyed on account of their works, and there shall be no seed of the vine and no oil, for their works are altogether faithless. And they shall all perish together, beast and cattle and birds and all the fish of the sea, on account of the children of men. So again, because of the wickedness of man, everything's going to be destroyed. You see, this is the future of every single city in the world, including Old Jerusalem, including the land of Israel. It's all going to burn, according to the scriptures. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and new Jerusalem. And that's what we're really supposed to be setting our eyes and our hopes upon. Not fighting over land now. Our hope is on New Jerusalem and the return of Messiah, Baruch, Abba, Hashem, Yehovah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We're living in that wicked generation. this godless generation. There's very few who have the desire to walk in righteousness and holiness, but Jesus said that if you hunger for that, that you're going to be filled. Let me just go ahead and continue to read the prophecy here. Praise the Lord Jesus for giving me thoughts on what to say. Verse 19. And they shall strive one with another, the young with the old with the young, the poor with the rich, the lowly with the great, and the beggar with the prince, on account of the law and covenant, for they have forgotten commandments. They have forgotten commandment and covenant, and feast and months and Sabbaths and jubilees and all judgments. They've forgotten about it all. That's what the scripture is saying here. Again, this is not the Bible. This is Jubilees, ancient scrolls found with the Dead Sea, found in the Dead Sea. And they shall stand with bows and swords and war and turn them back into the way. But they shall not return until much blood has been shed on the earth one by another. And those who have escaped shall not return from their wickedness to the way of righteousness, but they shall all exalt themselves to deceit and wealth, that they may each take all that is his neighbor's. And they shall name the great name, but not in truth, and not in righteousness. And they shall defile the holy of holies with their uncleanliness, and their corruption, and their pollution. And a great punishment shall befall the deeds of this generation from the Lord. And he will give them over to the sword, and to judgment, and to captivity, and to be plundered and devoured. And who will wake up against them the sinners of the Gentiles, who have neither mercy nor compassion, who shall respect the person of none, neither old nor young, nor anyone, for they are more wicked and strong to do evil than all the children of men. And they shall use violence against Israel and transgressions against Jacob, and much blood shall be shed upon the earth. And there shall be none to gather and none to bury, and in those days they shall cry aloud and call and pray that they may be saved from the hands of sinners, the Gentiles, but none shall be saved. And the heads of the children shall be white with gray hair. And a child of 3 weeks shall appear old like a man of 100 years. And their stature shall be destroyed by tribulation and oppression. And in those days the children shall begin to study the laws, and to seek the commandments, and return to the path of righteousness. And the days shall begin to grow, and many, and increase amongst those children of men, till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years. And to a greater number of years than before was the number of days. And there shall be no old man, nor one who is not satisfied with his days, for all shall be his children in use. And their days shall be complete, and live in peace and joy, and there shall be no Satan, nor any evil destroyer. For all their days shall be the days of blessing and healing. And at that time the Lord will heal his servants, and they shall rise up and see great peace, and drive out their adversaries. And the righteousness shall see, and be thankful, and rejoice with joy forever and ever, and shall see all their judgments and all their curses on their enemies. And their bones shall rest in the earth, and the spirit shall have much joy, and they shall know that it is the Lord who executes judgment, and shows mercy to hundreds and thousands, and to all that love him. And do thou, Moses, write down these words, for thus are they written, and they record them on the heavenly tables for a testimony for the generation forever. So according to this prophecy, it gets really, really bad. But then, it gets so bad that even children are born and they look like old men. It makes you wonder if the babies looked different back a couple thousand years ago. Or 4,000 years ago. You see, there's so much we don't understand and know about the ancient world, and we've been deceived and we've been lied to by that big black screen in your living room. Feeds you full of lies about history and about how the world really is. Makes you wonder. But even that evil generation will be followed by a generation who finally rises up and says, you know what, we're going to walk in God's commandments. We're going to return to the path of righteousness. And in those days shall begin to grow many and increase amongst those children of men, till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years. They shall live in peace and joy, and they'll no longer be this Satan, this adversary. I long for that day. Maybe we could be the generation that starts returning to the old ways, the old path, walking in righteousness and holiness, seeking the kingdom of God first. Maybe. Well, I'm out of time, my friends. That's all I can do this morning. I do want to ask two small requests before I end. Number one, a few weeks ago I asked you to pray for a family member. That member has gotten much worse, is in intensive care. It's not been looking positive, I'll put it that way. At this point, he basically needs a great miracle. And his name is Bill. So please consider praying for him and lifting him up to God and asking for mercy as a surgery tomorrow morning that will hopefully help with his situation, but it's very risky. So I ask that you would lift him up in prayer and just ask that God's mercy be upon him. In addition to that, I ask you to support this work. Believe it or not, the subscribing count continues to grow. More and more people are downloading. We have well over 10, 12,000 subscribers, but the contributions continue to plummet. We only have 30 Patreons at this point. So you do the math there, 12,000 subscribers, 30 people that support it. That's not very much. And it's really just declined over the last 30 days. So if you're being blessed by this and you have the ability, please consider supporting the work and supporting this mission of truth. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And if you can't, then please pray for the podcast. Your prayers are much coveted and much needed, and I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. Thanks for listening this morning, and I pray that you've been blessed in the powerful name of Jesus. And until next time, God bless.